Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Now, what I'm going to say right now might get me into some trouble.
Hold on. Here's my hottest take of all time. No one's going to complain about the sun at night.
I feel like at this point, if I have the quarter, it's a net loss for me. Like, it's going to be in a spot that it's just going to sit there forever.
Why are you the way that you are?
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, happy 5th. Is today the... And the 4th of July moves around. So this would be a once every 7 years type of thing. But is the Friday after July 4th like the number one everyone takes off holiday? The, I don't know if I can come in today. The day of the year where the most people figure out a way to be off.
Day after New Year's, too. Like New Year's Day.
New Year's Day?
Or
is that though?
The day after New Year's Day.
Isn't that an actual holiday?
Well, that's what I was saying. Maybe the day after New Year's Day. Like if you're just like.
The second.
Yeah, if you're just like, I want to just take a little bit more time here.
I might go.
That's like the end of that like 2 week gauntlet of like Christmas and then New Year's and all that stuff. Like you just might need one more day to just kind of recuperate.
Yeah.
Depending on when everything falls.
When you put it that way, that makes sense. Like it's more the buildup of weeks.
Right.
Of just tons of stuff.
Like if New Year's 2nd, or like if January 2nd fell on a Friday, I'd be more inclined to take that off than if January 2nd fell on like a Wednesday.
That's definitely, yeah, I get that. If it fell on a Friday for sure. The 2nd though, you at least, like isn't New Year's Day already kind of the recovery day? Like everyone's up till midnight, everyone's, you know, having their champagne the night before.
Could be a travel day though.
For the first?
Like, yeah, if you go somewhere and
obviously,
you need another day to like settle down from the travel.
Yep.
That's a key in a trip, too.
Obviously, the other, this is a yearly basis, and this would probably be the king of this. The day everybody takes off, if you're not already off, would be the day after Thanksgiving. The Friday after Thanksgiving. Although, is that... Again, some of these I feel like people would just be off in general. I don't have a good sense how many people are off today. Most? And how much of that is, well, your company's just off today and they said, yeah, you're going to take the 5th off anyway.
I know all of the friends I hung out with yesterday, and granted that was like, you know, 4 or 5 people, they all had work today. So
okay. A lot of my friends had work today too.
But like like my girlfriend works at a restaurant. Like the restaurant was closed yesterday, but like obviously they're going to be open on a Friday in the summertime. So I feel like that's a little unfair there. But like the other people are working in various industries where you wouldn't be closed. Like, it wouldn't just be like, oh, we could just take tomorrow off. Like,
yeah.
It's not like a, you know.
Yeah. It's, there's also, never mind. Those would be the big ones. Those would be the big ones. January 2nd is a good one to point out. Day after Thanksgiving is absolutely this. And I think if you get, like, Memorial Day on a Thursday or you get the 4th on a Thursday, then Friday's just toast.
How does this apply to birthdays?
I don't think they really do. Don't people just celebrate their birthday on the weekend? True. If your birthday's on a Wednesday, aren't you, or a Thursday, aren't you just waiting till Saturday night?
Yeah.
Or waiting until Friday night?
I mean, my birthday this year was on a Tuesday, and I did the stuff the weekend before.
When's the last time? Do people do this? I don't. Do you take off for your birthday?
I did this year, and that was the day that Don Granato was fired.
Okay.
I was on my way to a golf course when I got a text from somebody saying, like, hey, Sabres press conference, and I'm like, hey, I'm not there.
Listen to this. He's getting his feet wet early. Big things happen when Josh is away.
Yeah.
Granato getting fired.
Well, big things also happen when Zach and I are on. Every time we were on for, like, Extra Point Show, like, we were on the day Diggs got traded, an hour into the show, like, things happen when I'm here or when I'm not here, so I can't get away from it.
Yeah. Speaking of being off, by the way, Jeremy is he's on leave with the new kid, so he'll be back by training camp. But it'll be me today, and then we'll have Sal in a couple of days throughout next week. Nate will check in as well, so we'll get your cast of characters here on Jeremy and Joe in the next couple of weeks, and then Jeremy planning on being back for day one of training camp, which is July 24th. So we are 19 days away from the first practice at St. John Fisher. I believe it's the first practice is the 24th. The first, they check in probably the 23rd. But I know we're going to be down there on the 24th. So 19 days away from Bills training camp. We'll get some football in today. Maybe a lot. And like hockey, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, by the way, 803-0550 if you want to call in, 803-0550. Hockey, I'll get later, maybe in a smaller segment, to what's left for the Sabres to do. Again, I'll do that when we have more abbreviated time, because there's really not much. Like, we've kind of gone round and round on the trade ideas, and listen, between now and the start of the season, there's just not a lot of action in the NHL. Like, Pierre LeBrun tweeted out, let me find his exact tweet. A lot of the insiders are going away. I saw Elliot Friedman did a segment on NHL Network, and the background, it looked like he was in a rainforest. And I guess he was like away somewhere. I don't know where, but he was outside wherever. Yeah, Pierre LeBrun on Wednesday. Like, this is how you know hockey. If you listen, I know it's being said, like, hey, off-season's not over. I know it's not. Like, by the calendar, it absolutely isn't. But most of the player movement, almost all of the player movement that you'll see between the end of the season and the start of the next season has already happened. Most of the offseason is over. Almost all of the offseason is over. You'll get your random signing here and your random signing there, and you might get a big trade or two. But for the most part, it's done. Pierre LeBrun tweeted on Wednesday, have a great summer, everyone. Be kind to each other. Heart emoji. Talk in September. Cheers. And it's a picture of him on a lake. Talk in September. I mean, there you go. That's like, is he the number two? Is he the co-A? 1A? 1B? He's the Rapoport to Friedman Schefter. He's one of the big insiders in the sport. And he's like, yeah, I'll talk to you in September. See ya. I'm going to go hang out on a lake for a while. Offseason's basically over. It's not completely over. You could still do things. And a little bit later on, I want to get to, like, there actually might be a couple of interesting late-stage free agent ideas. I did, though, I did a show for Locked On Sabres, the Locked On Sabres podcast on Friday, and I focused on, like, okay, what's left? Let's look at the remaining free agent options.
Today's Friday, by the way.
Thank you. It felt like a Monday, I guess, already.
I was going to say, when did you do that show?
Jeremy's day of the week clock is over there on the side. Wednesday, I did that show. And I focused on, okay, the free agents that are left. And I talked myself into an idea. Like, all right, you know what? Guy out there that I still like, that I would still like to see them pull in. Let's get Vladimir Tarasenko on a one-year deal. That I talked myself into it. Like, hey, Vladimir Tarasenko, makes sense. Last year, he did the thing you could just offer him again. He went to a non-destination team. He went to the Ottawa Senators on a one-year deal. They gave him the money he wanted. And the deal there seemed to be that, hey, here's the money you want, and we're trying to win. If we do, then great, you're on a winning team. And if we don't, then we'll let you pick the destination you want to go to. We don't have to worry about what we're getting back. We're more worried about getting you in the building, and we're trying to win right now. We're gonna be upset if we're losing anyway. And that's exactly what happened. He went to Ottawa, which is Ottawa. 7-year playoff drought, small little Ottawa. And Tarasenko went there. And what happened? They weren't good. And he said, I only want to go to Florida. So they traded him to Florida. And they didn't get much. But that was the deal. And I had talked myself into, hey, all right, Sabres, same thing. You got a spot in your top six. This guy scored 23 goals last year, over 50 points. He only 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe it was, had a big, big season. So, all right, go do that. Because, you know, it's kind of like hitting the undo button on Jeff Skinner. You got rid of Jeff Skinner because you didn't have a spot for him in the top six anymore. Well, here I am on July 5th, and I still got a spot in the top six. Let me go get this guy. So I did that. I did a show on a bunch of different options. I'm like, okay, Tarasenko's my favorite idea. 1 hour later, Tarasenko signed somewhere. Off the market.
It was so funny because I saw your tweet about like this episode that you tweeted out.
Yeah.
And then right below it, it was like whoever tweeted out Tarasenko,
brutal.
2 years, $9 million.
Where'd he even go? I don't even remember where he
Red
went.
Red Wings.
Red Wings. Thank
Which
you.
Is
great in the division.
That's even worse if you think about it.
Yeah. Not afraid of Vladimir Tarasenko, but I was getting into that idea a little bit. Another idea, I'm like, hey, Jack Roslovich, a player I've liked his whole career and have thought is underrated, and was pretty good for the Rangers last year once he got there. He was like, hey, still available, and signed with Carolina yesterday. So, slim pickings. There already weren't many. I had to talk myself into some of the ideas that were already out there, and now they're gone too. So, We'll get into it. It's not completely over. There are a few players left that might be interesting. Get to that a little bit later on. I kind of want to start today, though, with a fun topic. I saw from the 4th and 1 show. There are so many podcasts out there. Who hosts the 4th and 1 show? Who should host the 4th and 1 show? Like Jason Kelsey?
Anyone on the Eagles.
Exactly.
Has participated in the Tush Push.
Yeah, who's called the Tush Push? It doesn't say on their account who hosts, so I'm just going to go. I'm going to roll with just the name. 4th and 1 podcast. They had Cam Newton on. Cam Newton, who I think is done, right? He's probably done in the NFL. It's been 2 years now that he hasn't played. Carolina, he got back to at the end and was really bad. New England before that. Cam Newton. He got asked if he considers himself the greatest dual-threat quarterback that has ever played the game. What do we think Cam Newton said to that question? What do you think Cam Newton said to the question, are you the greatest dual-threat quarterback in NFL history?
Probably said yes, because that's just kind of who he is, right?
You would think so. He's got that ego, which I can appreciate about him. He said no, but he did also offer a name. He said, no, it's Lamar Jackson. Already. Lamar Jackson is the greatest dual threat quarterback to ever play the game. And I saw that and thought, hey, wait a minute. Not even like let's hate on Lamar Jackson type of thing. Like, okay, this is not a question I've ever really considered. Who's the GOAT dual threat quarterback? And, you know, Lamar, of course, you could ask the same question in Baltimore, and Cam Newton would ask the same question, I guess, right now. Allen is going to be in this conversation. It's you know, you want Allen in the actual greatest of all time quarterback conversation. Maybe that's still there. Maybe he'll be Mount Rushmore quarterback by the end of his career. I still think he's very capable of that. But isn't he going to be the greatest dual threat quarterback we've ever seen? Isn't Allen going to be considered that by the end of his career? Or even, I mean, is it nuts to say that he would even be that now? I mean, if Cam Newton says a guy that's in the league right now in Lamar Jackson, and if you look at their two resumes, like the biggest difference you'll see is that Lamar has two MVPs. But it's kind of weird that it's 2-0 for MVPs for Allen and Lamar, because if you compare their numbers, and even if you want like win percentage, if you want their records, you know, like everything is just advantage Allen. The rushing is going to be higher for Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, by a lot, actually, he has started 77 games in his NFL career to Josh Allen's 93. And rushing yardage, Jackson is at 5,200 yards and Allen is at 3,600. But even though he is so much better as a runner, look at how much more often he runs. I mean, he's got more than 200 carries on Allen. He's been used that way. Maybe that also, you know, if you were going to actually get into this debate, get into the weeds of who's the greatest dual threat quarterback of all time, and you get to these two who are both in the league right now and aren't even 30 years old, so they have a ways to go, then you could look at it from a number of different ways. Is it, hey, just as long as the guy runs a good amount, then you qualify, and now we're just figuring out who the better quarterback is? Or do you want to approach it from a, well, Jackson is the better runner, so therefore he's the better dual threat quarterback? Like, to me, it would just be the combination of both. And I have always thought Jackson is an underrated quarterback that has been severely misused by his team for his entire career until really last season. So I think he should have been passing the ball a lot more his whole career. First quarterback since like the 70s or maybe it was the 80s to have 460 pass attempts or fewer in each of your first 5 years. They don't trust him to throw the football. And they've run it with him a lot. Allen, the Bills have not done that nearly as much. They've made him, and he's made himself, into pocket passer that can scramble. The scrambling is the thing with Allen that makes him special as a runner. Not, I mean, the designed runs are fine, but they just don't do it so often that it's like a... I mean, last year, I remember we were talking about how it was a thing that they went 8 weeks into the year, and I don't think they even had a designed run in the first half of the year. They only got to it late because they just couldn't do anything else. Allen is the all-time dual threat quarterback. 803-0550. Is he already there? And who, if he's not, who's he chasing? Who is he chasing as the greatest dual threat quarterback ever? I don't want to get to Jackson for this. One big thing about those two when you compare them, and I did see who was doing this over this week. Maybe it was even yesterday while we had, you know, the day off. Someone was comparing Allen and Lamar Jackson's playoff stats. And that really is, I'm not even talking like, oh, playoff wins, you know, do you have a ring? That is, you know, it's not, when you look at the playoff stats, it really is interesting. It really is the biggest difference between the two. And I don't know, like, what do I want to give Jackson a pass for on that front? That he hasn't been nearly as good when you get to the playoffs. Regular season, as I mentioned, they're very comparable. But playoffs, Allen, 26 total touchdowns, 4 interceptions, a 100 passer rating. Jackson, 9 total touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and a 75.7 passer rating. I mean, it's not even close. And I know neither have made a Super Bowl. Both have only made one AFC championship game. Allen, though, has 5 playoff wins to Jackson's 2. The playoff numbers are just ridiculous how different they are. And I think that should matter some, if not even a good amount. So I want to put Allen, in terms of this conversation, I think I want to put him above Jackson. So I don't really know, though, who's my answer then. Like, who is the guy he's chasing? Who's the greatest dual threat quarterback of all time right now? And how far away is Allen from being that answer? You might even think he already is the answer. I might think that's a little, you know, little early for that. 803-0550 is the phone number. Paul in Buffalo's first up this morning. What's up, Paul?
Into this conversation, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is considered dual threat, but he would obviously be the greatest of all time if he is. John Elway and Steve Young are two names you would put in there. Moving on from that, though, Jessica Pegula, our hope in Buffalo for a championship in a major international sport, gagged another one up at Wimbledon. Jessica Pegula, who has advantages other tennis players could only dream of as far as training facilities and people around her and coaches and anything you want. She has never won a major. She continues to play doubles with Coco Gauff at every major. Well, can't.
Yeah, Paul, we lost you there. I don't know. I don't know what we're doing with Jesse Pegula there. Advantages. It's a country club sport. I mean, who's she competing against? I mean, sure, yes. The Williams sisters did not have those advantages, but didn't the rest of the sport, basically? So I don't really know what we're doing there. On your point, though, about some of those 90s names for this, I was going to get to this, but I wanted someone else to mention it first. My answer for this question that Cam Newton got asked in the last couple of days, I think would be Steve Young. I think Steve Young is the guy Allen is chasing for this very specific, you know, type of accomplishment or type of, you know, title. Greatest dual threat quarterback ever. By the way, that's getting more and more competitive, right? How many more quarterbacks that enter the league today are dual threat? Yeah, Mahomes, I really wouldn't qualify, though. Mahomes, here's how you can look at it. Mahomes is 40th all-time amongst quarterback and rushing yards. 40th all-time. And you might think, oh, that's not bad. That's not bad. 40th, I mean, his career is not even half over. He's not even 30. So, what's he, I mean, of all the quarterbacks that have ever played, you're telling me he's 40th? That's not bad at all. Allen's 8th. Allen is already 8th all-time. And Jackson is 4th. Jackson is 900 yards away, by the way, from Michael Vick's record for the most rushing yards ever by a quarterback. He's maybe going to pass Vick this year for that record. And Allen, from Vick, is 2,600 yards away. 2,500 yards away. Excuse me. I mean, he is also probably going to catch him. Like, really, we're maybe witnessing number one and number two at the end of the day. Right now, I might want to say it's Steve Young. Steve Young is 6th all-time, 4,200 yards. Not somebody that I remember watching playing. I'm 4 when he retires, 5 when he retires. But, man, you look at the numbers, you look at the records, you look at the rushing. I mean, there are famous clips that you've seen of him running. The one where he's, like, you know, holding himself up near the end of it with his arm on the ground. Look at the rushing for him, though. I mean, his 37-year-old season, Steve Young, 1998, he was 37. He ran for 454 yards and 6 rushing touchdowns.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Wow, right? He had a three-year stretch where he had 1,300 yards rushing and 10 touchdowns. Once he really got in there as the Niners quarterback. The other thing about him is he didn't start early on in his career. Or he had that middle ground between Tampa and when he got in for the Niners, where he was Joe Montana's backup. So his rushing numbers would look even more impressive had he not played. Like, to me, I think it might be young. Maybe there's someone out there that's listening that is ready to call in with the name Fran Tarkenton, which is way before my time, so I can't really speak to that. He is the next name above Allen. How many... I guess I've already given away like half the list. I was going to have Josh to see if you could figure out who's left on this list above Allen in rushing yards, but I've already given away most of the list. Fran Tarkenton. Here are the quarterbacks above Allen all-time in rushing yards. Okay? He's eighth. Just past Steve McNair, the late Steve McNair last season. Above him, Fran Tarkenton, 60 yards. He'll pass that this year, the first game probably, second game. Steve Young is about 600 yards above Allen. He'll do that maybe this year, if not, probably next year. Randall Cunningham is fifth all-time. That is 1,300 yards above Allen. Jackson is 1,600 yards above Allen, and given their ages... He's the one guy I just don't see Allen ever passing. And because he doesn't look like he's slowing down at all on that front. Russell Wilson, 5,300 yards. That's 1,700 more than Allen. I think Allen would get there. Wilson's kind of done as a runner. Newton at 5,600. That's 2,000 more yards from Allen. I think he probably gets there also. And then Vic at 6,100, which is 2,500 yards above Allen. Is that, I think I just said this when I brought Vic up earlier. Should I just assume Allen's going to get that many more rushing yards? 2,500? What are we talking about? Another 10 years of him playing, averaging 250 yards a year? Yeah, he should be able to pull that off. I mean, I know those guys don't run nearly as much when they get into their mid-30s and even early 30s, but... Yeah, Allen's probably going to be second to Jackson all time. So what's interesting is I think this question gets asked of Cam Newton, and he answers Lamar Jackson, and I go, man, I get it. He is the greatest runner we've ever seen. And maybe that's where you could be coming from by answering him. Just, is he the greatest runner you've ever seen? as a quarterback? Yes. Okay, well, then he's what you want for this. He's number one. But by the numbers, by the whole resume, the whole thing, I think it's young, but I think by the end of their careers, like we are witnessing right now, the top two dual threat quarterbacks probably ever, both in the AFC right now, and both, funny enough, both cannot get past Patrick Mahomes. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you got a thought on this, maybe you think Allen already is the greatest dual threat quarterback ever. Ross Tucker, who is on Shopin' the Bulldog quite often and has his own podcast here in the Odyssey app, he has called Allen the greatest athlete that's ever played that position. So I wonder if he might be someone that would say, I think Allen already is the greatest dual threat quarterback we've ever seen. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you got a thought on that, or the Sabres, anything that's left, these trade ideas are really the thing. There are three big names that all are rumored to be on the market that all make sense for the Sabres, but who is holding their breath that that's going to get pulled off in the next month or two? It is Jeremy and Joe. We'll have Paul Hamilton along in about an hour on development camp and anything that might be left for the Sabres this offseason, how hard they might be pushing between now and the start of the year. We've got Nick Mendola coming up in the 8 o'clock hour on the U.S. soccer team getting embarrassed this week, falling out of a tournament that they're hosting in a weak group, and every U.S. soccer fan that you can see, from sea to shining sea, is calling for the job of the coach. Very interesting there, and you've got some more big soccer coming your way in the next month or two. So we'll get with Nick Mendola, see if he has a thought on the Sabres coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, and then a little fantasy heading into your weekend. It's July 5th. Drafts are starting to happen. Like, and I'm saying like home leagues, not just our crazy people, fantasy-obsessed nerd leagues that we do in February and March and April. The home leagues are starting to fire up post July 4th here. So Kevin Payne, RotoWire, is going to join us at 9:30. We'll look mostly at the Bills for fantasy at the start here. First kind of real fantasy conversation of the offseason. We'll dive in on the Bills for this. Who is rising on boards for the Bills? Who is the safer of the picks? If you want a high-end guy, who to look at? We'll break them down coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. So plenty of time for your phone calls. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off. It's Sneaky Joe DiBiase. Josh Schmidt producing, and this is WGR.
Blitz coming. Allen steps up in the pocket, going to take off and run. Has the first down and more. To the 40, to the 35, 30. Breaks away. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Josh Allen. Yeah, give him a flex, Josh. You just schooled them with their back turned for a huge touchdown run of 47 yards.
Josh Allen's big touchdown run against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoff game. Are we going to remember that playoff game? Have you ever gone back and watched the highlights of that game?
I had to, because I remember I missed most of the first quarter because my snowblower broke.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to fix it before the game started and did not succeed.
Okay.
So, I did. But I don't really remember that much about it.
There's a big Kincaid touchdown early on in that game. It was a weird game, though, just because we expected the Bills. It kind of, I guess, in a way, was a little similar, but it just wasn't as dramatic as the previous year against Miami. Like, hey, you're playing a backup quarterback. Last year it was Skylar Thompson. This year it's Mason Rudolph. Nobody in the world respects this Steelers team as like a big competitor to win the Super Bowl. So you're at home. Were they a double-digit favorite in that game? Like, nobody expected them to be challenged by the Steelers. And they got out hot, if I remember right. There's a Kincaid touchdown early on down the field. There's another play, maybe. Touchdown, big touchdown early in that game, but I don't remember who. There's that Allen run in, I think, the second quarter. Maybe it's right after that Allen run where we just felt like, okay, cruise control.
When I'm looking at the highlights here that we have saved, we have a Knox 20-yard catch.
Knox,
a Kincaid 20-yard catch, a Knox touchdown.
Knox also scored a touchdown in that game?
Knox did, yes. A fumble from George Pickens, a Kincaid touchdown.
Okay, that sounds a little familiar.
A Greg Rousseau sack, an Elam interception.
The Elam interception I'll definitely remember. I'm an Elam stan. And that was right after he took a pass interference, a bad pass interference. They got it put at like the one or maybe like the two or something.
Shakir's crazy touchdown late in the game too.
Okay.
Apparently.
Elam stuck with Deontay Johnson on his hip. Like, you saw all of the first round talent in one play. Good route runner, and he was right with him and he picked it off. It was one of the best plays of Elam's career. There was a big Shakir play. Oh yeah, when he's like he was almost down and he runs through the whole defense.
I don't know why I don't remember this one.
He like almost falls. He stays up somehow. He like cuts back to the right.
They reviewed it a bunch, didn't they? Like to make sure he didn't.
No, that was the Charger game. I know what play you're thinking of. That was one where his hip was down.
Oh, okay.
No, this was like he kind of spins when he has the ball, the middle of the field, kind of reverses field, I think, and then runs by the Steelers defense. At that point, though, well, that was one of those games where it felt like, okay, you got out early against this team. They're not that good. Why is this still a game? There was a little bit in the second half of, why is this still a game? Why is this not a blowout? And they got it done. They put it away. And then, of course, Kansas City after that. So, you know, maybe that's going to be a factor as to why that game might not be as memorable. But that Allen run will be. I mean, that will be one of his, when he goes to Canton someday, like that play's probably on his highlight reel. I think it's gonna be tough to top as his longest run. Open the show on Cam Newton getting asked a question and his answer on who the greatest dual threat quarterback of all time is. And I just wondered about Allen for this. Like, is Allen already in that conversation? And who, like, how many guys are really there for him to chase down? We have a couple tweets on this, and it's some of the same names. Harry tweeted in that he's still behind Vic and Steve Young. Dan tweeted in, maybe trails Steve Young and on par, maybe with Vic Cunningham and Cam Newton. Didn't mention Lamar Jackson there. Here's from Mac, getting connected with our fans, by the way, here, brought to you by Northtown Kia, shop online, northtownkia.com. Mac tweets in, Randall Cunningham and Cam Newton both have an MVP, both have been to a conference championship game, or have been to a Super Bowl. So, I mean, Allen has been to an AFC championship game, but he has not been to a Super Bowl, and he does not have the MVP, which, isn't that just insane? Isn't that insane? He's been as good as he's been, and it's one conference championship appearance, no Super Bowl appearance, and no MVP. I really think MVP is very, very possible this year, though. Very likely, even, the way the season storylines are setting up. Allen, this from Michael. Michael tweets in, Allen already has more passing yards, passing touchdowns, and rushing touchdowns than Vic in 50 games. Now, that's, for this question, that's really something I didn't think to look at, but I really should. Rushing touchdowns? Allen is already second all-time. And he will undoubtedly be number one all-time. He's 22 behind Cam Newton for the most rushing touchdowns ever. 75, Newton is number one. Allen is number two at 53. Otto Graham, I look at Otto Graham here, rocking in the 40s and 50s with 44 touchdowns rushing. Steve Young, 43. Where is, Lamar Jackson does not find the end zone that often. Jackson is 21st with 29 rushing touchdowns. That's pretty wild. So Allen is going to have the rushing touchdowns. You know, this kind of does, we're having a fun conversation here about, like, is Allen already the dual threat GOAT? Or is he very close already to that? But really, if you want to have a serious conversation about this part of his game, I don't know where we are with it. It was kind of a thing for at least 2 years of, hey, he's running too much is on his plate, don't want him taking all those hits. And it wasn't just fans saying that, like the Bills were talking that way. been making comparisons to how we want him to slide and, you know, in certain situations. There's, you know, who he is. Allen is a reckless runner, and he's been fine. He's a big guy, and he's very healthy to this point in his career, knock on wood. So there is not been real consequences here. Him flying through the air over people or running through defensive linemen, there haven't really been consequences to that. But Bean has talked about wanting him to run less or be smarter about running. There's that clip that I'll always remember from week one last year against the Jets where Allen tried to jump over, or was it, how was the order here? He stayed in bounds to try to pick up a couple extra yards. McDermott is shown on camera yelling at Allen, pointing at his temple, be smart, be smart. And then the next play, Allen jumps over two Jets, 8 yards from the first down sticks. It's who he is. Like, you're never going to be able to rein it in completely. But, last year was his fewest attempts that he's had in three seasons. Now, he has not had fewer than 100 attempts rushing since his rookie year. So, last year, like, man, you look at the difference between the two previous years and last year, how much it went down. Allen, crazy numbers. He had 2021, 763 yards, 6 touchdowns. The next year, 762 yards, 7 touchdowns. Last year, 524 yards, but 15 touchdowns. Man, 15 rushing touchdowns. Fantasy darling, that Josh Allen. I don't think this is the year to talk about reining in his running, to rein in the rushing. I think last year, there was maybe, we'll find the clip coming back. There's a Leslie Frazier comment from last season that kind of put into perspective the value of Allen's running and what it does to defenses and what you lose when you are not committed to it. And there was a period early in the season, it was almost the entirety of the first half of the year, where Allen was just not running the ball because they probably didn't want him to. They didn't want him taking the unnecessary hits. But then you got to the middle point of the year and you figured out, oh, wait, these are necessary. We need him. Everything offensively is easier when we have him running like that. And when they brought it back, as much as you want to give Joe Brady credit for changes he made, simplifying the offense, I think them turning the ball over less was definitely number one as to why they started winning games more at the end of the year. They started running the ball more, too, with the running back. But they also ran the ball with Allen more at the end of the season. And the way this offense is currently constructed, and I'm very concerned about what they have at wide receiver, I just don't think they're in a situation where they can afford to even think about taking away his running. It almost feels like it has to be a part of their offense this year. 803-0550 is the phone number. I'll try to find that Leslie Frazier clip on the value of Allen's running. He talked about it during this season as we go about this. We got a few more tweets we can read off here if you want to call in with a name, or if you think Allen already is this guy, the number one dual threat quarterback that we've ever seen. If you got an argument to make that he's already there, you can get in on that as well. Well, if Paul Hamilton at 7:30, we'll change gears to hockey then, so plenty of time for your phone calls before that. It's Joe DiBiase, it's Jeremy and Joe, this is WGR. Welcome back, Jeremy and Joe. Okay, so we were just talking about Allen, the running, the value of it. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get on it. So, Leslie Frazier, last year, this was on the Zach Gelb show, and he was talking about the value of Allen running. Here's what the former Bills defensive coordinator had to say on Allen running and what it can do to opposing defenses.
Yeah, you know, in the past, people were always concerned with his mobility, and now he's running a whole lot less and becoming more of a pocket passer. Now, that may change under Joe Brady. They may let him get back to some of the things he's really done to put a lot of pressure on defenses. But if you don't have to worry about him running and making those splash plays with his legs, then you're just going to play coverage like teams are doing. And they've, you know, gotten some big plays just playing coverage without bringing pressure, sitting back and playing zone, saying he's not going to run. And it's worked out well for teams. So you just copy. That's what everybody's doing. They're just copying what they saw the Jets do in the first game of the season, what New England did, what Cincinnati did, and then what we saw last week with Cincinnati. Just sit back, play zone. He's not running, so we don't have to worry about it. And they're having success.
There's Frazier on Allen running. I just can't imagine, you know, that they did run more. Allen last year, you know, that was right before Brady stepped in. As you heard there, like it would have been in between them firing Dorsey and Brady's first game, as Frazier alludes to there. If you look at Allen's rushing attempts as the season went on, he did not have a single game where he ran double-digit times under Ken Dorsey. So in 10 games with Ken Dorsey, he did not one time have 10 or more carries in a football game. 7 was the highest he did that, or 8. He did have 8 against Cincinnati. After Joe Brady took over, 10 attempts against Kansas City, 11 attempts against New England, 15 attempts against Miami, 12 attempts against Kansas City. You also had 9 in there against Philadelphia, 8 against Dallas, 8 against Pittsburgh. I mean, every week Joe Brady was the coordinator, Allen was running, and he was running a lot. And I think they might have to lean into it more this year, as much, maybe not more, but as much as they ever have. As much as they've ever had to lean into Allen running, I think the way that the offense presents itself, where just really am feeling like they're going to be lacking for the big plays, given their receiver combination, I think him running might have to be their big plays. 803-0550 is the phone number. We got Paul Hamilton coming up at 7:30. A little more football when we come back. Miami is so interesting to me right now because of what they're doing with Tua. I just want to get into that just for a moment. He's still not under contract, and it doesn't feel like they're all that close either. So I got a thought on the Dolphins at this point in time. But if you've got a thought on our question from this morning, is Allen, like, who's Allen chasing to be the best dual threat quarterback of all time? Because it feels like he's on his way to being that, or at least him or Lamar Jackson will be. Timeout here. We'll come back with that here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back, Jeremy and Joe. Okay, so we were just talking about Allen, the running, the value of it. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get on it. So, Leslie Frazier, last year, this was on the Zach Gelb show, and he was talking about the value of Allen running. Here's what the former Bills defensive coordinator had to say on Allen running and what it can do to opposing defenses.
Yeah, you know, in the past, people were always concerned with his mobility, and now he's running a whole lot less and becoming more of a pocket passer. Now, that may change under Joe Brady. They may let him get back to some of the things he's really done to put a lot of pressure on defenses. But if you don't have to worry about him running and making those splash plays with his legs, then you're just going to play coverage like teams are doing. And they've, you know, gotten some big plays just playing coverage without bringing pressure, sitting back and playing zone, saying he's not going to run. And it's worked out well for teams. So you just copy. That's what everybody's doing. They're just copying what they saw the Jets do in the first game of the season, what New England did, what Cincinnati did, and then what we saw last week with Cincinnati. Just sit back, play zone. He's not running, so we don't have to worry about it. And they're having success.
There's Frazier on Allen running. I just can't imagine, you know, that they did run more. Allen last year, you know, that was right before Brady stepped in, as you heard there. Like, it would have been in between them firing Dorsey and Brady's first game, as Frazier alludes to there. If you look at Allen's rushing attempts as the season went on, he did not have a single game where he ran double-digit times under Ken Dorsey. So in 10 games with Ken Dorsey, he did not one time have 10 or more carries in a football game. Seven was the highest he did that, or eight. He did have eight against Cincinnati. After Joe Brady took over, 10 attempts against Kansas City, 11 attempts against New England, 15 attempts against Miami, 12 attempts against Kansas City. You also had 9 in there against Philadelphia, 8 against Dallas, 8 against Pittsburgh. I mean, every week Joe Brady was the coordinator, Allen was running, and he was running a lot. And I think they might have to lean into it more this year, as much, maybe not more, but as much as they ever have. As much as they've ever had to lean into Allen running, I think the way that the offense presents itself, where just really am feeling like they're going to be lacking for the big plays, given their receiver combination, I think him running might have to be their big place. 803-0550 is the phone number. We got Paul Hamilton coming up at 7:30. A little more football when we come back. Miami is so interesting to me right now because of what they're doing with Tua. I just want to get into that just for a moment. He's still not under contract, and it doesn't feel like they're all that close either. So I got a thought on the Dolphins at this point in time. But if you've got a thought on our question from this morning, is Allen, like, who's Allen chasing to be the best dual threat quarterback of all time? Because it feels like he's on his way to being that. Or at least him or Lamar Jackson will be. Time out here. We'll come back with that here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.